Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. Once again, time for another edition of the Houston AMSAT Net. This is this net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1606, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, April the 8th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, April the 9th, 2025 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thank Okay, thanks to Joe, W5BSA. We are on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston, and the PL tone is 123.0, and we are on the 442.5 repeater in Katy with its links to other repeaters and the AMSAT talk group 98006 and YSF Fusion 11689. The All-Star node is 572580. And Echolink is star, AMSAT, star. So that should cover quite a few connection ways. And I will now take local check-ins.
Whiskey, Delta, 5, Juliet, Romeo, Delta, WD5, JRD, Carl, Jersey Village.
Okay, very good, Carl. I hope you're doing good this evening. You're sounding good. Over there at northwest part of town in Jersey Village, WD5JRD. All right. We got anybody else of any of our connected ways? All right, well, we're going to start off here with a little update from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team, thanks to Walter, K5WH. And he says, we now have 5 balloons up in the air, so he'll let us know the information on these. It looks like we've got KG5BBF-140, or BLT-140. It's completed 2 trips around the world. And it is now just west, just of the west coast of Africa on its 3rd try. So we'll look forward to watching that one keep going. And, of course, that was launched from the Greater Houston Ham Fest along with AB5SS-143 or BLT-143. And it's completed 2 trips around also. And it's now over China and it's still screaming across the sky. Okay, yeah, both of those balloons were launched from the Greater Houston Ham Fest, southwest of Houston, there in March. We got AB5SS-145, or BLT-145. It's completed its first trip around the world, and is now back over the Pacific on its way to Hawaii. And then we've got K5WH-15, or BLT-148. Says is awake today over Norway and heading south, so we should be able to get some good data from it for the next several days as it's finally over land for a change. And this is the maiden flight from the U.S. for the new HackTrack 2B APRS unit that's about 2/3 the size of a AAA battery. It's nice and tiny. And then they've got some new action. They've got K5WH-12 or BLT-149 was launched early this morning, but it appears to have had a premature balloon failure as it went out over Galveston. Another HackTrack tracker has been prepared while Sven is here, and we plan to relaunch on Wednesday morning. So too bad about that one, but good that they got another one ready. And glad to hear that Sven is over here from Germany. So hope the next one is an improvement. Okay, we appreciate that update from Walter, K5WH, and of course the South Texas Balloon Launch Team has their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's usually at 4:30 p.m. in a local restaurant, and then at 8 p.m. they have a meeting there on Zoom, and anybody can participate on that, and that's at k5wh.net/Zoom, and we appreciate Walter letting us know about the updates and making things still continue to happen for the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. We want to remind everybody you can call and check into the net with a quick phone check-in. That's to 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message. That's to West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And you can also send an email, and that's to wv5y@comcast.net. Switching gears over to the AMSAT News Service bulletins, and this is ANS bulletin number 96 from this week's News Service Bulletin editor, Mitch Ehrensdorf, AD0HJ. The AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And you can get your own copy of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins. The news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And the way you sign up for free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org.
BL-123.
Okay, we want to thank Bruce, KK5DO, our website owner, operator, developer, and, of course, the AMSAT awards guy. And you can follow along with the links that we're reading out by going to AMSATnet.com and clicking on the post that he's got over there.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, SpaceX launched the Fram 2 private astronaut mission on Monday, March the 31st, marking a new chapter in commercial spaceflight. The Crew Dragon spacecraft Resilience carried four private astronauts into a polar orbit, making it the first crewed mission to fly directly over both the North and South Poles. After 3.5 days in orbit, the spacecraft splashed down safely in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California on Friday, April the 4th. One of the mission's standout features was Fram to Ham, an amateur radio initiative led by mission pilot Ray Bay Rogue, LB9NJ/KD3AID, a robotics researcher from Germany. On April 1st, just hours after reaching orbit, Rogue conducted the first amateur radio contact ever made from a Crew Dragon spacecraft. Yes, she did an ARIS event, speaking on 437.550 megahertz. She answered questions from students at Technische Universität Berlin, TU Berlin, during a live-streamed session focused on STEM topics. The mission also featured slow scan television, or SSTV, transmissions sent by Rogue using an ICOM IC705 transceiver. Amateur radio operators around the world tuned in and successfully decoded images sent from orbit. The images were submitted to an online gallery maintained by ARIS, of course, the amateur radio on the International Space Station group, with over 1,100 general entries and more than 110 from student STEM teams submitted during the mission. The Fram to Ham experiment demonstrated that meaningful amateur radio operations can be carried out from commercial crew vehicles using compact battery-powered equipment. ARIS called the effort a breakthrough for ham radio in human spaceflight, noting that the success of Fram to Ham opens the door to future communication experiments aboard non-governmental orbital missions and commercial space stations. Fram 2 also included operational tests with future exploration goals in mind. Following splashdown, the astronauts exited the spacecraft without external help to simulate autonomous egress procedures that may be necessary on lunar or Martian surfaces. The hands-on, self-directed nature of the Fram to Ham project paralleled this emphasis on independence, with Rogue managing transmissions without ground crew assistance. The mission saw strong participation from the amateur radio community. The live Oscar status page on the AMSAT website received a record 496 reception reports during the mission, more observations than any other spacecraft in a four-day period since the page's inception. That's pretty good. Although several operators attempted to receive signals during the re-entry phase, none succeeded as the capsule entered a plasma blackout. Still, engagement across the amateur radio world was described as historic. Fram 2 was organized and funded by Chun Wang, a Malta-based cryptocurrency entrepreneur originally from China, who also served as the mission commander. He was joined by Rogue Norwegian cinematographer Jannik Mikkelsen as vehicle commander, and Australian polar explorer Eric Phelps as mission specialist and medical officer. The team conducted 22 research experiments in orbit, including medical imaging, materials testing, and biological studies. As the first crewed mission to reach a 90-degree orbital inclination, Fram 2 provided rare views of polar auroras and remote Arctic landscapes. For Wang, the mission fulfilled a childhood curiosity about the polar regions for the broader space community. It demonstrated how private spacecraft can combine scientific research, technical innovation, and public outreach, including a successful amateur radio experiment that brought signals from orbit to Earthbound listeners around the globe. Okay, we want to thank Space News, ARIS, and Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. And we're just at a quarter past the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and see who we've got checking in via some of our alternate means here. Okay, let's see. We haven't heard from Charlie, K5ENG, so we're going to have to ring his bell over there in West Houston, see what's going on, see how things are going over there. We did hear from Andrew, KC5LWI, and sounds like things are going good there. He's been busy playing with that new VHF UHF radio that he won there at the HamFest. And so that sounds good. And let's see. We've also got Dale, WD0AKO, up there in the Moorhead, Minnesota, in the cold flood country. And, of course, he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. So we appreciate that. Okay, we've got Vern, WA0RCR, over there in Wentzville, Missouri. And, of course, thanks to him, you can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band. Okay, we got Kai in 6ZZO over there in McKinleyville, California. He's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in on Wednesdays. Lots of times when we're out doing stuff there. But glad to hear when he's calling in and letting us know he's out there. Let's see. From IRC, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX.
CL123.
Okay, looks like from APRS, we don't have any APRS check-ins. It's been a while since we've got any APRS check-ins. Let's see, we do have some check-ins here from Echolink. We've got Mitch, AD0HJ, and he's over there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night AMSATnet, and that takes place over on DMR, and of course now that's also routed into the 442.5 KB repeater, and that system of connected repeaters, as well as all those other connected means. We got the talk group of DMR is on 98006. And YSF Fusion is 11689. So that's some of the good ways. We appreciate that. And that is at 9 p.m. Central Time. And so that's his, Mitch's AMSATnet over there on DMR that he does on Wednesdays. So we appreciate that. Okay, we got Bob, K9OIM, and good evening to him. And Indoff, N6UTC, he's over there in Long Beach, California. Hope he's not currently experiencing any disasters at the moment. We've got Bruce, KK5BO, up there in Roman Forest. Of course, thanks to him, he's making our URLs available. And also is putting out that information for satellite awards, so you can check out our website over at amsatnet.com if you'd like to find out how to get an award for making your first satellite contact, and even other ones after that, too, of course. Okay, we want to say hello to Damien, AG9P. He's out there in Oconto, Wisconsin. And we've got Reed, W4UPD, and it's been a while. Good evening to him. We've got Dale, WD0AKO, on here, so appreciate him doing that backup of our audio. And then there's Steve, KA5YFC, so we want to say good evening to Steve this evening. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. And I remind everybody, once again, you can call and check into the net. Quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. APRS message to WV5Y. And that email, it's WV5Y@comcast.net. The inaugural flight of ISAR Aerospace's Spectrum rocket ended just 40 seconds after liftoff, and that was on Sunday, March the 30th, with the vehicle crashing into the sea off Norway's Andøya spaceport. The rocket, intended to be the first orbital-class launcher developed by a private European company, lost control shortly after takeoff and triggered its flight termination system before plummeting into the Arctic waters in a fiery explosion. ISAR Aerospace officials acknowledged the failure, but emphasized the value of the flight. Today, we know twice as much about our launch system as yesterday before launch, said Daniel Metzler, ISAR's co-founder and CEO. The company released multiple replays of the short flight, including a drone-captured video, underscoring a level of transparency uncommon in the space launch industry. Metzler praised the team's achievement, framing the test as a crucial step forward in a long-term development process. The Spectrum rocket lifted off at 10:30 UTC, generating over 150,000 pounds of thrust from its 9 engines, fueled by liquid propane and liquid oxygen. Trouble emerged about 15 seconds into the flight as the rocket began to oscillate and tumble, eventually flipping upside down. With the rocket tanks, with the rocket propellant tanks still nearly full, its impact created a massive fireball visible from the snowy Andøya space landscape. No injuries were reported, and the launch pad remained intact. Luckily, the mission carried no commercial payload, a deliberate decision given the anticipated risk. The goal was to gather performance data during Spectrum's first powered flight. That rapid prototyping, just kind of like SpaceX. Officials at ISAR Aerospace had long signaled that reaching orbit on the first attempt was unlikely. By preserving the launch site and capturing valuable telemetry, the company achieved what it described as a successful test despite the dramatic conclusion. Founded in 2018, ISAR Aerospace has raised over 400 million euros in private and industrial institutional funding, making it the most well-capitalized among Europe's emerging private launch companies. Supporters include the European Space Agency, Germany's government, and the NATO Innovation Fund. ESA Director General Joseph Osbacher praised the flight as a vital learning opportunity, while German Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck hailed the launch as evidence of Europe's growing technological independence. ISAR is already building its next two rockets and plans to iterate quickly, following a strategy modeled after SpaceX's fast-paced test and repair cycle. While the loss of the first Spectrum rocket marks a setback, company officials maintain that success lies not in perfection, but in progress. "We're super happy," Messler said. "Now it's time to analyze all data, learn, iterate, and be back on the launch pad as soon as possible." "We're super happy," Messler said in a press call after Sunday's flight. "It's a time for people to be proud of and for Europe, frankly, also to be proud of." And we want to thank Stephen Clark from ARS Technica for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y and the Houston AMSAT Net. The 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins have just arrived. They're celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. Help support Golf and Fox Plus. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today. Just go to www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, NASA. Well, first of all, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. NASA and the Italian Space Agency have achieved a historic milestone with the successful conclusion of the Blue Ghost mission, which delivered the Lunar GNSS Receiver Experiment, or LIGRE, to the moon. LIGRE became the first technology demonstration to acquire and track Earth-based navigation signals from the lunar surface, proving that Global Navigation Satellite System, or GNSS signals, including GPS and Galileo, can be used to support autonomous navigation on the moon.
BL-123.
The ability to receive and process GNSS signals approximately 225,000 miles from Earth opens new possibilities for future lunar and deep space missions. By reducing reliance on Earth-based tracking, missions like NASA's Artemis program could benefit from real-time onboard navigation systems similar to those used on Earth. LIGRE was delivered by Firefly Aerospace's Blue Ghost lander, which touched down on the moon on March the 2nd. Science operations began shortly after landing, and by 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on March the 3rd, the LIGRE payload had successfully acquired and tracked GNSS signals from the moon's surface, achieving a navigation fix and marking a first in space exploration. The Blue Ghost mission operated for 14 days, completing its objectives before the onset of lunar night. During that time, LeGray functioned in near-continuous mode, gathering valuable data and demonstrating the viability of GNSS-based navigation on the moon. The mission also marked a milestone for the Italian Space Agency, as LeGray was its first hardware to operate successfully on the lunar surface. In addition to its surface accomplishments, LeGray set multiple records during its journey. On January the 21st, it acquired GNSS signals at a record-breaking altitude of 209,900 miles from Earth, surpassing the previous high set by NASA's Magnetospheric Multiscale mission. The payload later received signals from 243,000 miles away in lunar orbit on February the 20th, confirming that GNSS signals can be used not only on the moon, but throughout cislunar space. LeGray was developed through a partnership involving NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, the Italian Space Agency, Italian industry partner Qualcomm, and Politecnico di Torino. The mission's success demonstrates the growing potential of Earth-based navigation systems to support autonomous space exploration well beyond Earth orbit. And we want to thank Catherine Schauer, NASA, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. Well, it looks like we're just a little bit past the bottom of the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any late check-ins. So any late check-ins halfway through here to the Houston AMSAT net, come now.
K5WH Mobile.
Whiskey 5 Tango Romeo India, 3, mobile.
Okay, very good. We got Herbert, KD5, sounds like he's running around mobile out there. Good evening, Herbert. And then for our second week here, we got Trey. W5TRI. So good evening to you. And do we have anybody else out there?
K5WH Mobile.
Okay, good evening, Walter. K5 Mobile running around also. Anybody else? All right, well, we're down to the list. We've got the VUCC and DXCC satellite standings for April. So, let's see. This is the award endorsement change summary for March 1st, 2025 to April 1st, 2025. Is this the same one we had a couple weeks ago? But looks like we don't have the same person here in the lead of this one. See, as of 3-1-2025, in first place, we've got K8DP. Congratulations. And he's going from 1738 to 1737 to 1738, making that one important contact, but still way ahead of everybody else. Okay, well, we've got W8LR going from 897 to 900, E70A from 504 to 796. We've got WD9EWK and Grid Square DM43 going from 737 to 774. IK7FMQ from 651 to 701. F6EQD from 420 to 629. Okay, we've got K09A going from 524 to 545. JE1LFX from 216 to 506. JI5USJ from 425 to 450. We've got N4QWF from going from 325 to 336. WD9EWK and Grid Square DM23 going from 200 to 207. And WD9EWK and Grid Square DM31 going from 200 to 206. We've got VK3EHG new on the list with 130. KB4YKC new with 100. And also KT8O is new on the list with 100. Okay, KT8O is the first VC satellite holder from grid EN71. And so congratulations, and we want to say congratulations to the new VCC satellite holders. Okay, well, so we got the VUCC satellite award folks off the list here, off the record. Now we jump to the VXCC satellite award endorsement change summary. So this is the folks that are working countries. Okay, as of 3-1-2025, going to 4-1-2025, we've got DL2GRC in first place, going from 160 contacts to 184 contacts. All right, congratulations there, 184 countries. That's a pretty good accomplishment there, especially on satellites. We've got I3BUI going from 167 to 169. Got ZS1LS going from 160 to 168. We've got AB9V from 156 to 158. HB9RYZ from 155 to 157. PE1L going from 151 to 154. EA6VQ from 147 to 151. Okay, we've got PA7RA going from 144 to 147, YO2RR going from 142 to 145, SP3AU from 140 to 144, HB9GWJ from 137 to 141, K8DP from 125 to 129, we've got E70A new on the list with 125. Okay, then we've got CU3AN there in Cuba going from 115 to 120. IK8YSS new with 111. G4BWP from 105 to 110. JJ1BMP, BMB going from 101 to 110. EA3BS new on the list with 106. And SV1HEP is new on the list with 106 also.
BL-123.
Okay, SV-1HEP is the first DXCC satellite holder from grid KM-18, and we want to say congratulations to the new DXCC satellite holders, and we want to thank John Goering, N7AZ, for this information. All right, you need a new toy to play with, something on the workbench you can be putting together? coming in 2025, which is now, or later on in the year, we've got the SDR Gen 2. It's a versatile GNU radio-based transverter. This goes from 144 megahertz through 6 gigahertz continuous coverage. Okay, this thing does direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, LS, and C-band ops. Up conversion to 5 and dime capability. It's all mode, being CW, single sideband, FT8, in narrowband FM, slow scan television, ATV, etc. You name it. Minimum downlink data rate of 1 Mbps. And then we've got, it's built to fly on Fox Plus and the Golf missions. Okay, this is, comes from AMSAT Engineers, keeping amateur radio in space. And it's Ascent, the Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology. So you can follow the AMSAT News Service for more information on upcoming availability of SDR Gen 2. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. We do have some changes to the AMSAT North America TLE distribution for April 4th. Two line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. And weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. That'll keep things pointed where they need to go, so when you look at your tracking programs, the satellites will be in the right locations. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, then they've included our notice again this week. Things have changed a little bit about the order of the explanations there in the listings. In an effort to minimize confusion between sources of two-line element sets, AMSAT is adopting the convention of listing in the USSF/NORAD catalog name first, followed by any secondary name or names in parentheses. So when you look at the listing, you're going to be see their name, and then you're going to see in parentheses, you're going to see our name for the satellites. So like POM 4 in parentheses BGS RPIT was added recently, where POM 4 is the name that appears in the U.S. Space Force satellite catalog, and BGS RPIT is the name best known within the amateur satellite community. Expect name changes for affected satellites in the coming weeks as this change is fully implemented. Okay, so the only question is, how do these changes affect the Keplerian element sets that go into your tracking program? Well, time will tell. Sounds like we have had some issues there that Herbert was talking about last week. So we'll see here if I know they're going to keep playing around with that. And I know I'm sure the makers of the programs will be adopting changes eventually. I know I'm still playing with, I still like Nova a lot, and it's not having any problem updating its KEPs, so that's a good thing. Okay, the following satellites have been added to this week's AMSAT TLE distribution. We've got JinjuSat, and that's 1B NORAD catalog ID 63210 on a downlink of 435.185 megahertz. And then we've also got NUSHSAT 1, NORAD catalog ID 63211, and its downlink is on 436.200 megahertz.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, and then we got the Dragon capsule for Fram 2, and so that's Dragon Fram 2, NORAD catalog ID 63427, and its downlink is on 437.550 megahertz, even though that one's already over. Please note that the elements provided for Dragon Fram 2 are provided by the U.S. Space Force, while Fram 2 Ham are derived from state vectors provided by SpaceX and converted to TLE by ARRIS. AMSAT TLE for Fram 2 Ham continue to use the provisional object number 90,000. There is no practical difference between the elemental sets for amateur radio use. Hats off to SpaceX for precision orbital injection and the inclination of this polar orb 90 degrees. All right, we want to thank the AMSAT Orbital Elements page for that information. And, of course, that comes from www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And that's going to have to start including Japanese astronauts as well. The downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Okay, we've got some completed contacts. We've got the Sayama Technical High School in Sayama, Japan. Direct via JA1YUT, the ISS call sign was OR4ISS, with scheduled crew member Takaya Onishi, KF5LKS. The ARRIS mentor was 7M3TJZ, and the contact was successful on 4-2-2025 at 090721 UTC. Okay, they had a live stream. I don't know, it might still be available. That was at space.sayama.jp. So I want to say congratulations to the Sayama Technical High School students. We've got the Université de Namur in Namur, Belgium. Telebridge via IK1SLD. The ISS call sign was OR4ISS. Scheduled crew member Don Petit, KD5MDT. The ARRIS mentor was ON6TI.
DL-123.
Okay, this contact was successful on 4-2-2025 at 15-11-17 UTC, and their live stream was at www.youtube.com/live/MGHDLGITDAS. course, Bruce has these URLs available over at AmSatNet.com, so we appreciate that. And we want to say congratulations to the University de Namur students. All right, the city of St. Petersburg School, St. Petersburg, Russia, had a contact with RS0ISS and Alexei Ovchinin. The mentor was RV3DR, the contact 43-2025 at 1245 UTC. Then the Ufa City School in Ufa, contacted RS0ISS with crew member Ivan Wagner. RV3DR was the ARIS mentor, and the contact was 44-2025 at 1025 UTC. Okay, the Lyceum number 23 of Kaliningrad City, Kaliningrad, Russia, had a contact with RS0ISS. Crew member to be determined. ARIS mentor RV3DR, contact Monday 4-7-2025 at 1110 UTC. Many times a school may make a last minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but we at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. You can always check live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. Okay, currently there's an ARIS outage on Monday/Tuesday. The ARIS radios on the International Space Station will power off in support of the Soyuz docking. And the schedule, the radios turned off Monday, April 7th, about 1645 UTC, 1245 p.m. Eastern Time. And then radios back on Tuesday, April the 8th, about 1645 UTC, or 12:45 p.m. Eastern Time. The crossband repeater continues to be active on the ISS. It's on 145.990 MHz up, the PL tone of 67. And then you listen on the downlink, it's on 437.800 MHz down. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. And the packet system is also active. It's on 145.825 MHz up and down. Okay, as always, like this week, if there's an EVA, a docking, or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed time. Of course, all these times have already happened. The latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found over at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. AmSat ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, hamfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And AmSat ambassador Tom Schuessler, N5HYP, reports, I will be giving a couple of local presentations on getting started with satellites in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area this month. Thursday, April the 10th, by Zoom to the MetroCrest Amateur Radio Society, MARS, at 7 p.m. More information on their meetings can be found at www.mars.org. kb5a.org. Okay, and then Monday, April the 28th, 7 p.m. for the Denton County Amateur Radio Association, or DECARA, in-person presentation. Details on the calendar at dcara.net/club-calendar. Also, I want to remind AMSAT members in the Metroplex that we run two AMSAT nets weekly, DFW AMSAT East on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time, except for the first Tuesday on 6.88W5FC Dallas Amateur Radio Club repeater. The peel tone is 110.9. Okay, that's also available on Echolink, W5FC-R, node 37247, and on All-Star, search W5FC, node 555-178. Let's see our competition. Okay, then we have every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on the Arlington Amateur Radio Club, the K5SLD, 145.14 for the DFW AMSAT West. Hope you can make one of these presentations or join in on the nets, especially if you live in the area. Okay, well, we got a couple things going on here. We've got the Brainerd Minnesota Area Ham Fest, April 12th, 2025, at the Brainerd National Guard Armory, and that's at 1115 Wright Street, Brainerd, Minnesota, 56401, and that's at brainerdham.org, and you should see Mitch, 80HJ, and KE0PBR there. Okay, then we've got the big convention. Dayton is May the 16th through the 18th, 2025, at the Greene County Fair and Expo Center, 210 Fairground Road in Xenia, Ohio, 45385. And you can just go to hamvention.org. And we'll thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, NASA and Boeing are working together to prepare the CST-100 Starliner spacecraft for its next crewed flight, which is expected in late 2025 or early 2026. This follows the spacecraft's first crewed mission, which experienced a propulsion system failure that extended an 8-day mission to a 9-month stay for astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, who later returned via SpaceX's Dragon capsule. In response, teams are conducting extensive testings and analysis, including propulsion system evaluations at White Sands Test Facility to address overheating issues and helium leaks. Over 70% of the anomalies from the previous mission have been resolved, but major propulsion issues remain under review into 2025. Boeing's ongoing work on Starliner, which has cost over $2 billion, is part of NASA's broader strategy to maintain flexible and safe access to space through commercial partnerships. If testing proceeds as planned, Starliner's next mission could support either crew or cargo transport to the International Space Station. And we want to thank Reuters and NASA for that information.
PL-123.
Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate. And post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in this status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. All right, we get a 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that comes from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ehrenstorf, 80HJ. And that's MAHRENSTORFF at AMSAT.org. And a lot of good info there, and I appreciate it, Mitch. Okay, well, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT Net. Look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe out there, playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. And we'll look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3s for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.